at Hebrews chapter 12 to the passage of scripture that was read in our hearing. Hebrews chapter 12. And why are you turning there, since my mother does not get to hear me preach nor sing on a regular basis? And so I'm going to sing one of her songs that she always wants me to sing when I'm in her presence. And that's it. Well, everybody will be happy over there. And we're just going to sing one verse because I do have to preach after I sing. All right. Everybody will be happy over there. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, and where the souls of men shall and live on forever, and everybody be happy over there. Well, now everybody be happy over there. And here we will be happy when we get over, and we're gonna shout, sing his praise through the never-ending age, and everybody be happy over there. Well, now everybody be happy over there, over. And yes, we will be happy when we get over, and we're gonna shout, sing his praise through the never-ending age, and everybody will be happy over there. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I have been looking at the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 on Sunday evenings. And for those of you who have been here, I've been looking at the theme, looking to endure. And it comes under our congregational theme, the state of the soul, a disciplined body. And if we are to thrive and not survive, we have to have the mindset to endure, no matter what the cost. There is nothing that you want to do in a disciplined way that you do not need endurance to accomplish it. I've just mentioned all of these who have graduated, and it takes endurance to finish 12 years of school. You have to endure algebra and geometry and algebra 2. And Lord, if you make it to calculus, you've been enduring for a while. And I'm just telling you, if anything that you plan to accomplish, you must endure. I don't care how long you've been married. You signed up to endure. I don't care. Whatever you're going through, the adversity, trials, and tribulation in the Christian life, endurance is necessary. Amen. When we think about endurance, I want you to know that endurance means that I remain under the load. I sustain the load. I carry the load. It might be misery, it may be persecution, it may be provocations, but I sustain that load in faith and patience. I went and did some exercises Friday. It was my New Year's resolution to work out. And I went and did exercises Friday. But as I was doing those exercises, I had somebody to help me with the weight. And he told me, he said, now, it might feel heavy on you, but I want you to just breathe in and pump it up. And I want you to see endurance now. When that weight was on me, and you know it's easy coming down, but underneath the load, I had to endure pressing it up. And thank God I had a spotter, but that's another sermon for another time. But I had to endure pushing it up. And I want us to know as children of God that there will be sometimes where there is weight that you feel that you cannot bear. But I want you to know that your God has enough strength to help you to endure. And so I broke down this lesson into three parts. We looked at the first thing: if you want to endure, you got to look around. That's why he says, seeing we are compassed about. I like that it's present tense. That means even though I may not see the great cloud of witnesses, I know that since he says we are compassed about, I got a cloud of witnesses. And it's a great cloud of witnesses. And these witnesses go back to Hebrews chapter 11. They start from the very foundation of the world. The earth itself is a witness. Even though men may have made atomic bombs, the earth still stands because God said, just as long as there's seed time and harvest, I'll sustain the earth. And I know we want to, you know, we're going green and everything. Recycling, that's good, that's good. But God said, I'll sustain the earth. Now you do the best you can, but even if you got all of that stuff you didn't recycle, God says it's my earth and I'll sustain it. Oh, I know you ozone layer people are going to get on me about that. But it's God's earth. He'll sustain it. And you and I must look around. If we're going to endure, you need to look around and see that you're not the only one living by faith. There have been others who have lived by faith. You're not the only one trying to raise faithful children in this wretched world. You're not the only one trying to live, have a successful marriage. You're not the only one. And so we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And that was the first look. Look around. And then I looked at, and I'm sorry I have to go over this, but had you been on Sunday nights, I wouldn't have to do being here on Sunday, I wouldn't have to do so much of this. But the second look was a look up. Watch what he says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. I know he said looking unto, but I want you to look up, because he's at the right hand of God. Oh, and that meant for us, We need to look up because of who Jesus is. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. That means he's the supreme object of my focus. He's the chief leader. He's the example. He's the model of faith. But I thank God that he's the finisher of my faith, because I know that I'll leave something undone. I can't do it all right. I may not have the right attitude. I may not have the right disposition. But God looks at me and says, I'm going to finish what you tried to start. You and I will die and leave things undone. But God says, I'll finish it for you. Oh, Noah, with all that he did, building the ark, what happened to him was he got drunk. But he's listed not for getting drunk, but for doing that which was of faith. See, that lets me know that God will finish what we start. Moses hit the rock, but he ain't in there for hitting the rock. He's being in there for having enough faith to do what God said to do. You and I got to look up, because our race is not on a horizontal course. It's on a vertical course. So we are racing towards heaven. That's the track we're on. And so we look up because of who he is. And for what he did, he endured the cross. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. In other words, he recognized what he had to do was shameful. What he had to do on the cross was embarrassing. It was humiliating. But yet, he despised that shame, and still, with knowing that it would be embarrassing, knowing it would be humiliating, knowing it would be disgraceful, he took on the cross anyway. So we look up to him because of what he did. And finally, we look up to him because of where he is. He's at the right hand of God. See, that's a place of honor. That's a place of power. And that's a place of help. So the reason why you can look up is because, even in the midst of adversity, is because you got a person who is at the right hand of God, interceding for you and pleading on your behalf. And he is there to help you in the time of need. So we need to look up. But then if we're going to endure, finally, if we're going to endure, we're going to need to look in. The Hebrew writer says in verse number 3, consider him. That word consider means to reckon. It means to compare. It means to weigh out. The Greek term for consider is where we receive the word analogy. An analogy is a similarity between two like features of two things of which we can compare. The author is not suggesting that we compare. He gives this in the imperative language, which means I'm commanding you. This is something you got to do. This is imperative if you plan to make it. You've got to compare what Christ did, how he sustained, how he remained, how he held out, how he held on. And you got to compare it with your ability to sustain, to remain, to hold out, and to hold on during difficult and adverse and tumultuous times. And that means I've got to take a pensive, introspective, reflective look at what I'm experiencing and compare it to what Christ experienced. And I'm telling you, if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you've got to compare what you are experiencing, what you have to endure, and look at Christ. So many times we look at other folks, and when we compare ourselves to other folks, we start wondering, why do I have to? But if we would take what we're going through and compare it to what Christ did, it caused me to say, why not me? See, we got to understand, a true disciple will know that their life looks like Jesus' life. When Jesus talked to his disciples, he prepared them for what they would have to endure. Go to Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10. See, the disciples were not caught off guard when they faced persecution, because Jesus told them, if you follow me, this is what you have to endure. Matthew chapter 10, and looking at verse number 22. Watch what he says. And ye shall be hated of all men for my sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You are taking up my cross. You are taking on my purpose. And because you are taking on my purpose, you shall be hated. Now that's hard to hear, because we like everybody liking us. We don't want any enemies. But Jesus says, you're going to be hated for my sake. And when they persecute you, verse number 23, in this city, flee to another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Verse number 24, for the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. In other words, if they talk about you, that's what you ought to expect, because you're not above me. And they talked about me. See, we want to tiptoe through the tulips. And everything got to be smooth, because we live in the Christian life. You better read your Bible. That says, let's go to John chapter 15. Jesus prepared his disciples for the reality that would come. That if you're going to live like me, if you're going to live for me, then you're going to have to endure just like I endured. Now watch what he says. Verse number 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you? Remember what I told you back in Matthew? The servant is not greater. See, sometimes we got to hear it twice. We got to hear it again. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Jesus said, if they hate you, know that they hated me.
If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they listen to me, they'll listen to you. You got to know what you signed up for. You got to know what you signed up for. And Paul says, the proof of godly living is persecution. I know you got trouble with that. Let's put a little scripture on it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10 through verse number 12 will show us what he's talking about. Watch what he says. But thou hast fully, this is Timothy, Paul talking to Timothy. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. That's all the good stuff. I've shown you an example of what it is to be a child of God. But also you've known my persecutions, my afflictions which came to me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. Everywhere I went, there were persecutions. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Here it is, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It is the evidence of our Christian life that we suffer persecution. But I want you to notice now, going back to Hebrews chapter 12, watch what he says. That he endured a contradiction of sinners. In other words, what he endured was opposite to what he did. John said he was in the world. He created the world, and the world knew him not. That's a contradiction. You got the creator in your presence and you don't even recognize him and honor him as the creator. He came to his own and his own received him. Israel, you've been looking for the Messiah for thousands of years. Here he is coming to you. And you ain't got enough sense to receive him. Came to his own and his own received him not. Those whom he called to be his apostles, those who said, we'll die for you. Thomas said it on one occasion, let's go and die with the Lord. You remember that Peter picked up his sword and was ready to cut off one of the high priest's captain's ears and said, I'm willing to lay down my life for you. But here's the contradiction. When it came time for it, they all abandoned him. Judas, which betrayed him. Judas, which betrayed him on the night of his betrayal, Jesus washed all of the apostles' feet. The Bible says in John 13 that Satan had already entered into the heart of Judas. But Jesus took out the basin, and Judas was among the foot washed, clean feet disciples and took his clean feet itself out there with those soldiers and betrayed the Lord. I'm trying to tell you, I'm showing you now. He endures a contradiction of sinners. Jesus, when he was called to come to Jairus's home to heal his daughter, he didn't hesitate to go. But yet, when Jesus called for others to follow him. I want to show you now a contradiction. They made excuses. I've married a wife and I can't come. I got to bury my father and I can't follow you. I done bought a plot of land. A contradiction of sinners. Now, all I want us to do is to see that he dealt with religious sinners. He dealt with male sinners, female sinners, old sinners, young sinners, Jew sinners, Gentile sinners, sick sinners, healthy sinners, blind sinners, sighted sinners. He dealt with them all. And none of them stood up for him when he had to stand before Pilate. I want you to see now, it's a contradiction of sinners that Jesus dealt with. And he says, I want you to look at the way he dealt with these sinners. In verse number 3 of Hebrews chapter 12, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He said, I want you to look at everything that Jesus did in order for your mind to be right. Because you're going to have to deal with sinners. You're going to do good and somebody's going to do evil to you. They're going to return. Well, they're going to borrow from you and not return it. So you might as well get your mind right. See, the Christian life is a mind game. And if your mind ain't right, then your actions won't be right. If your actions won't be right, your character won't. See, and this thing here, we got to understand, is all about what's going on up here. Watch what Luke says. I want you to just see here. Just give me just a few more minutes. I know you want to get to your dinners and lunches and things. But Luke 21 and verse number 34. Watch what he says. He says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. Your hearts, that's your mind, be charged with surfeiting, that's an overindulgence, and drunkenness, and cares of this life. He says, you got to be careful that you don't get caught up in your cares, so that the day come upon you unawares. In other words, you don't even know what's going on because your mind is messed up. Paul said it like this in Galatians 6 and verse number 9. Do not be weary in well-doing. Why would he tell us not to be weary in well-doing? Because doing well can weary you. When you are doing good for somebody, but they're not doing good back, that wearies you. And in your mind, you don't want to fool me once. You start regulating. But that's not the mind of Christ. And so everybody has to look in them own. Don't you look at me. I got to look at me for me. And I got to compare what I'm going through with what Jesus did, and for myself come to the conclusion that I got to go on a little further than what I've been doing. See, I understand, and all that's all, if you don't get anything else from this lesson, all I want you to do this week is to compare what you're going through with what Christ went through. And at every turn, family rejects you, I want you to know that the Bible says that Christ was rejected by his own. See, when we start comparing it to Christ, it begins to look a little differently. Oh, I know some of us, you know, these seniors, they graduated, they want to do all these things, and some of them missed out on doing. Let me tell you something. It's not the worst thing in the world to miss out on the prom. When you think about what Jesus gave up for you in order for you to be saved. See, you, when we start comparing this thing to Christ and stop looking at what other people have done, you know, we look at, well, my financials is not right. And having a little difficulty finding a job. Can't get my housing and trying to get in a house. And, you know, we get all, let me tell you something. The Bible says foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man didn't have anywhere to lay his head. I think we might be able to endure. Young people, you ain't got to run away from home because things didn't go out, work right for you. I got my parents here. I won't look at them while I'm telling this about them. I'll talk behind their back. You know, my mother probably will, didn't, you know, she always saying, you always put me under the bus. But anyway, but growing up, I compared what I had to do chore-wise. You know, I had to wash dishes and vacuum, you know, and clean up. And then I had to go outside. I'm the only boy. I have to go outside and pull weeds and sweep leaves. And I always, and those sisters of mine, while I'm outside, they in the house. And I always, you know, I was one willing to speak my mind about the thing in a respectful way. And I wonder, I said, my boy, I have to be out here doing the yard work when they not out here. Can't you send them out here? And she said, that's man's work. But I was comparing myself to my sisters rather than comparing myself to Christ. Because sometimes you got to do all the work and nobody's gonna help you with it. And you might as well find you a song and sing, make me a servant. Make me like you. For you are a servant, make me one too. And some, you got to find a song when you doing all the work and somebody else is just sitting around. But I'm saying we got to compare. What did Christ do? You know, yesterday, went to our son's graduation. You know, and after the graduation, we are so excited. And you know how we do. We get around and we take pictures. And my family, we've taken pictures, but the venue where the graduation is held, they're anticipating some more people coming in at another time. So they don't want you lingering too long. But as we were taking pictures, I noticed that the lady who came and told us to leave didn't look like our family members. And the way she came to us, you all have to leave.
Right.
And stood.
Right.
And there were other families taking pictures that didn't look like my family. She was not positioned by them. So the heat in me started to arise. Now, I just want you to know that, but I've been studying about comparing my suffering with Christ. Instead of saying something that I should not have said, I thought about, has Christ ever been thrown out? And I had to go back to the temple. Remember, they put him out of his own temple. And I said, I'm just going to submit. All I want you to see is, what is it? What is it that you got going on? And when you compare it to what Christ, stop looking at everybody else.
Amen.
And look at Christ.
Amen.
That's the look. We got to look within and see what Christ did. Because I wanted to compare what happened to us with these other families that were not being. But I said, let me look at Christ. So I could get my mind right. And so you're going to go into work tomorrow. And you already, you left Friday hot. And all I want you to do when you go back tomorrow is say, I'm looking at Jesus first. And I'm going to deal with you all like Jesus want me to deal. See, if we can do that, we can endure. We can make it. Because the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but is given to those that endure to the end. You and I must make sure that we endure. And if we look at Jesus, I know we can. Seemed like I'm missing something I was supposed to say. But I said enough. You know, I was looking on the YouTube and things about that gorilla in Cincinnati. Y'all saw that?
Yes.
And how that little boy was dragged effortlessly. And you know, I'm just going to make my commentary on those who are trying to persecute or bring up charges on this family. But I've been a boy. And I bet you my mother would tell you that she could see how that boy got in that. Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And I just don't know which child at 3 years old has gotten all the foolishness. Show me the parent that's been able to get all the foolishness out by three. But that's not the point. Don't get caught. But the point was seeing that boy being dragged by that 400-pound gorilla with no effort. And then to hear that mother on the 911 call saying, I can't watch this. I can't. Watch this. I thought about and compared it with God when on that Friday his son was dragged from Caiaphas' house, dragged into the judgment hall, dragged before Pilate, slapped in his face. And I wonder, how is it? And who is it we can't get along with?
Amen.
Because when you compare what Jesus did, When you compare what Jesus did, surely we got enough in us to fight just a little bit longer. He had to watch his son. And she watched her son. But she saw that gorilla get shot. Now here's what's going to happen. Those of us who have watched the Son of God and we have done nothing about our lives, amen. He says, I'm coming to take vengeance, amen, on them who obey not God nor the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't want to be caught up in that. Make a decision, if you're not a child of God, to be one. All we ask is if you have enough faith to walk down these aisles. And the thing about the walk you have to walk, when you compare it to the walk that Jesus took,
that's right, that's
up right, Golgotha's hill, it ought to be. It's a short enough walk. It's an easy walk to come to Jesus than to do what Jesus did for you at Calvary. If you would come to him, giving your life to him by having faith, repenting of your sins, confessing him, and being buried in water, the benefits you receive,
amen,
are more than you could ever imagine. I have not seen, nor has it entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for those who love him. If you're here, you're a Christian, but you've been comparing yourself to others and not with Jesus, you're going to come short every time. Every time you're going to come up short. Maybe you're here, you need to get things right with the Lord. Maybe you need prayer for strength. I don't know what it is that you need, but I do know that the Lord has what you need. If you're here, you stand subject to the invitation. Won't you come as we stand, as we sing the song of invitation?
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? And dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God?
You have seen.
Is thy heart right with God? Oh, washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.
And hast thou
dominion of self and or sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? And is thy
heart right
with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy,
humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.